We're to continue today in living free. Living free sounds good, but you know what? We can live free. Live free of bondages, live free of chains, live free of whatever is hindering you and holding you back. And there's a lot of that going on. And a lot of it has to do with the Spirit of God in us that will cause us to be free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit." Notice that's capital S. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that you have come today to set the captives free, that you have come today to remove muzzles, that you have come today to break chains. And we thank you, Lord, Almighty God, that nothing is impossible with you, that all things are possible. Lord, I pray that we hear your word today, draw closer to you. Thank you that you anoint my lips to speak your word. And draw us, Lord, closer to you, and that we'll have a heart to go after you, feet to our faith. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We've covered the last couple weeks concerning the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to look at the gifts that God has provided for us through the Holy Spirit. We'll continue this next week, maybe the last week next week. And if you haven't got the first two parts, you can get them on the website, YouTube, Facebook. There's even an app for the church. You can listen to it there as well. God has given gifts to us, to his children, we can experience as we know him. So the key to our, we just got through singing this a while ago, that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. That's the way we receive the gifts of God, is to first know Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with Jesus, and then all these, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow in us and through us. I believe that we need the Holy Spirit today more than ever before. We can come to a place of salvation. We can come to a place of being saved, and we'll go to heaven. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives us the extra power that we need in order to make it through the things that we face from day to day. And there are some real things that I know are represented in this room this morning, that you need the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God. Now, when we get to heaven, the Holy Spirit will be there, but we don't need the same power to make it through the things there that we've made it through here. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as our comforter and as our helper. Why? Because Jesus knew full well that we needed help and we needed comfort. So the Spirit of God dwells in us, but also the Holy Spirit, he was sent by God to indwell in us and to cause us to be stronger than what we are ourselves. It's the power of God. And God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they all work in unison. They work in unity. They work in oneness. They flow together. They're not competing with each other. And what they do, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us knows the will of the Father, as we talked about last week. And the will of the Father is working in through us as we ask the Holy Spirit to walk with us every day. The Holy Spirit doesn't get tired. He doesn't need a vacation. He doesn't have to unplug. He doesn't have to unwind. He didn't have to say, you know what, I've had enough of you. I need a break. He doesn't do any of that. He's always with us. He's always with us to help us and to comfort us. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the door to us receiving God's gifts. One of God's gifts is eternal life. We know that God sent Jesus so that Jesus laid down his life. He hung on the cross. We talked about the cross a while ago, sung about the cross. He went to the cross, he died, went to the tomb for 3 days, and rose again. And because of that, Jesus paid the price for our eternal life. Eternal life cannot be purchased. Can you imagine if a three-day trip outer space costs $450,000? Can you imagine what Amazon would charge for eternal life? Just think about it. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to go out of space for 3 days, but I think we're going to save the 450, and we're just going to go to heaven one day, and we'll just pass it then on our way to eternal life. But can you imagine? The only way to eternal life is through God, is through the life that Jesus gave, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. He has provided the key to our eternal life. And so there's no other way to eternal life except through Jesus Christ. He's the way. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So he's provided the gift of eternal life through his son Jesus Christ. That's a gift. That's a gift. There's not any other way. We can't say, okay, you know what? I'm going to line up my eternal life that I'm going to live forever, but I'm not going to do it through Jesus. It's not what happened. There's only one way. There's no other access to eternal life except through the gift of God by Jesus Christ. The second gift that God gives us, and we're talking about this, is the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit as our helper, as our comforter. Jesus was ministering to forgiveness to his disciples, and later he says he breathed on them and told them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5 of Acts 1, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be, that's future tense, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus is speaking in future tense that we can deny the Holy Spirit. Why would we deny the Holy Spirit? Because we, as I taught the first Sunday, we don't understand it. There are people that don't understand the Holy Spirit, so I want to be saved, I want Jesus in my heart, but I don't want anything about the Holy Spirit because that concerns me. We can't define the Holy Spirit. And as we read the Scripture, we're not to define it. We're not to describe it. We're not to tell all the attributes of the Holy Spirit because we don't have the words to describe Him, nor do we have the ability to understand Him. But you know what? We can receive the Holy Spirit. He can work through us and in us and do His will, and we know that everything that the Holy Spirit does is good. The Holy Spirit, in conjunction with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, everything He does is to bring us closer to Him and to cause us to thrive in a dying world. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit doesn't come for any detriment to you. The Holy Spirit comes as the Spirit of God to encourage us. So we have eternal life, the gift of God to go to heaven. But we have the gift of the Spirit in order to cause us to thrive in this world. So the Holy Spirit is for us here, and then God's got us covered. When we leave here, we have eternal life through the gift of God. So the power for the life's journey, the power for the things that you're facing today, the power to give you the wisdom that you need to make the decisions you need to make today, tomorrow, and throughout this week, coming months, coming years, while you're still on this earth, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, the gift of God, He gives us spiritual gifts, eternal life, Holy Spirit, and spiritual gifts. Why do we need spiritual gifts? Romans 12, 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. There are gifts in us, and we're going to see in 1 Corinthians 12, there are actual 9 gifts of the Spirit that we can read there. And those 9 gifts of the Spirit are for today. They're not. They worked in the days of Paul, but they're also for today. Aren't you glad that all the things that Jesus did on earth, that they weren't just for then, they're for today as well? I believe growing of arms and blind eyes open and dead raised, I think all that's for today. That wasn't just for then. All those things, I believe we will see today. We will see one day. We'll experience those things. Because Jesus hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same power by the Holy Spirit. And so those things, we're not discouraged because we don't see the things that we want to see. We're encouraged because anything is possible with God. We draw closer to Him. But these gifts are of God. Spiritual gifts are of God. The early church experienced the gifts of God. But Paul had to teach them because there was apparently some gifts being abused or being used in the wrong ways. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So apparently Paul had a reason for making this statement. I don't want you to be ignorant. So there's a learning, there's a learning of the gifts of the Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. We need to embrace the gifts of the Spirit. We know that they are for today. We know that anytime us humans are involved, things can be abused or things can be used wrongly, right? I mean, you know, we're human, so we don't always do things right. We don't always do things according to God's plan. Paul didn't always do things right, right? Peter didn't always do things right. So we learn from these guys that we're also like we are, have a tendency sometimes to get things wrong. Thank God we've got a gracious, loving, merciful God. And he's teaching us to use the gifts that he has described here in the Word of God. And so probably out of all the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of tongues would be the most controversial issue, because some denominations say, well, though the gifts of tongues, we can't describe that. We can't understand what you're saying or what the purpose is, so we shun that gift. But that is one of the nine gifts. And there's a reason and there's a purpose for nine gifts. And I believe that the Word specifies two reasons. The first one is our heavenly language to God. Our heavenly language to God. Have you ever prayed anything? Now, this happens to me every day. Have you ever wanted to pray something to God but didn't know how to say it? Didn't know how to describe God? You know, it's like you want to tell God what you're feeling, but you can't put in your words. That's probably just for me. So we can speak in a heavenly language, praying to God, not understanding what we're saying, but saying what's on our heart. Does that make sense? So the first gift of tongues is for our language to God. It describes that perfectly here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 and 14 says this: For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So it's a language to God. And so the second form, I believe, that the Bible teaches us about tongues is a gift from God. A gift from God, gift of tongues that is used for the edifying and building up. And so there's two purposes, I believe, in the Word of God for the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 says, But one and the same Spirit works all these things. So it's the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that works all these things, distributing to each one individually as God wills. And so each one of us, if you read through, take time in 1 Corinthians 12 to read through the nine gifts of the Spirit, one of those, if not more, is for you. Each one of us is born with the gift of the Spirit. And it's a gift that God has given us. Sometimes it could be used through your work, through your vocation, through what you do, through what you enjoy doing, whether it's building houses, putting in flooring, sitting behind a desk, talking on a phone, selling ads, playing golf. The gifts that God has given us, the nine gifts, are used in everyday life. We don't have to gather on Sunday and say, okay, now let me pull out my gift and I'm going to use my gift on Sunday. No, our gift is part of us. It's part of who we are. It's part of who you are. And if you haven't discovered your gift, I will pray that you pray that God will show you what your gift is. Spiritual gifts are important. Spiritual gifts, God wants to let you know what those gifts are and for you to operate in those gifts that God has given you. Spiritual gifts, they are relevant for today. They're important for today. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says this: Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love. Isn't that interesting that those words are used? Let me ask you, who is love? God. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Do you remember that song? 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. So love is God. God is love. So we're to pursue God and desire spiritual gifts, because the gifts flow out of God. The spiritual gifts flow out of God. So as we know God, the more we know God, the more we understand, our gifts, your gifts, become more obvious. You sense it. You feel it. God pours that ability into you of your gifting. So we pursue God and we desire his gifts. Every gift given by the Holy Spirit is vital, and it's important for today. You've seen many gifts in operation this morning, just in the last hour. You've seen many gifts in operation. Some gifts you don't even realize that are in operation, and others, they're obvious. So there are reasons why we need to seek the gifts. Why do we need to seek the gifts of God? But number one, they're gifts of God. So anything that God has for you, and if you're breathing, and if you love God, then those gifts are for you. Why do we pursue those gifts? The first one is because his gifts are unique. Number one, his gifts are unique. His gifts are like nothing else. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, the devil will always have a counterfeit for everything God does. The devil will always counterfeit what God does. Music was first invented by God. Every style of music, every instrument, everything that makes music was invented by God. God made music. And so the devil took that, took the ability of music, and twisted it and turned it to where it's something that it's not. Sometimes it sounds the same, but obviously the anointing, as I talked last week, the anointing makes the difference. The anointing of music makes the difference so that you know that it is a gift of God. And so everything that God has, everything that God ever has or ever will have, every gift, everything will be counterfeited by the devil. So we seek the gift of God because it is unique. We don't not seek the gift of God because Satan has duplicated it. Well, I'm just not going to listen to any music because that's used by the devil. Well, we can say the same thing about money. I'm not going to use any money because it's used by the devil. Right? We're not going to say that. So we know that whatever God has, the devil's going to use for his purpose and will twist it to make it look like it's for God. But God's gifts are unique. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. I may not be called to do what you're called to do. That's good. You may not be called to do what I'm called to do, but we working together, just as the Godhead works together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work together, so are the diversities of gifts, of ministry. The Bible talks about diversities of gifts work together because it's the same Lord, same Spirit, working all in all. It's like gears. They just fit together. They work together. And so because we're not called to do the same thing in the same function, doesn't mean that what one is doing is less important than what the other is doing. It's very important. Your pinky toe is real important. It's not as quite as obvious because it's your pinky toe as your right hand. Well, I need my right hand, but I don't need my pinky toe. Yeah, if you're missing it, you'll know that you're missing it. Right? So the whole body of Christ is working together for one purpose, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus. When we gather on Sunday morning as we pray that very thing. God, use everything that we do today to bring glory to you. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And so may all that we do, and that's the same thing in our life. God, as I wake up tomorrow morning, may everything I do bring glory to you, whatever that is. If I step out of line, speak to me, show me that we bring glory to God. So our diversities are good. You know, the old saying, opposites attract. And that's true. Opposites attract. I mean, that's obvious. I don't have to go there. Y'all knew exactly what I was thinking. Y'all know me too well. Number two, his gifts are necessary. God's gifts are necessary. In order for me to have the ability to stand up against some things that I'm going to face this week, and you're the same way, the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is necessary. We can face it in our own strength, but as we face it in our own strength, we're going to be defeated. We're not going to see through the eyes of God into that thing that God can cause to work together for our good. But as we operate in the gift of the Spirit, as we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in and through us, we will see that His power is necessary. Now, Rad, he pulled up this morning in a wheelchair with Miss Charlie, with Lady Charlie, Charlie Lady, Charlie Girl, her too. And so Rad pulled up in here on those four wheels. We have Scott. He rolls up in here on two wheels sometimes, riding his bicycle across St. Simon's. So we don't have to have transportation, but it sure is nice. You don't have to have a car We don't have to have an electric wheelchair. We don't have to have a bicycle. But getting from one place to the other makes it nice. It makes it more efficient. It makes us to be able to get there quicker. And so the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You may think that you can make it through life without the Holy Spirit because you don't understand Him. But the Holy Spirit will cause us to be more effective. He will cause us to be more efficient. He will cause us to be more productive. And He will cause us to be complete. Why? Because God made us that way. What's wrong this morning? Everybody on St. Simon's isn't here in church this morning. There are more people living on this island than what's here. And so some of those people are seeking something to fill the void in their heart, not realizing that the Holy Spirit is the very thing that they're seeking and searching. And so they look everywhere else. I don't need God. I've been disappointed by God. I've been hurt by church people. And so they're looking everywhere else, not knowing, not realizing, we pray that they do, that the Spirit of God is the one thing that they're missing. The Spirit of God, without the Spirit of God in my heart, there's something important to me that I'm missing. It's like missing this physical heart. There's something missing. It's not, life isn't complete without the Spirit of God in my life. And so it is with you. It's necessary. God's gifts are necessary for us to live and to fulfill what God has called us to do. New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, "Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it." So we're all working together, fully complete in God. And last, number three, His gifts are fulfilling. I've already touched on that. God's gifts are fulfilling. His gifts are fulfilling. Sometimes we go through life and we just don't feel like we don't feel like we fit in, or we don't feel fulfilled, or we feel like something's missing in life. Have you ever felt that way? And the Holy Spirit brings the fulfillment of what God wants to do in our life. Doesn't it make sense that if God made you, then God also has the things in your life that will fulfill you? So we don't understand that many times we seek this or seek that position or seek this position, seek that material thing. If I could just get that house, if I could just get that car, if I could just get that girl, if I could just get that guy, if I could just do this or do that, just get that degree. If we can do that, we think that we'll be fulfilled in life. And if we ever get there, we understand that hadn't done it. What that does is increase our appetite for the next level, and it's never, never ending. Never ending. We see that all around us. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in New York. We see it everywhere, that there's always a hunger for more. And when you get more, that's not good enough. I'm hungry for more. Why? Because God is the one who fulfills all that we are. He made us. He created us that nothing else will fit there except for the Spirit of God. We're to seek Him because He is our fulfiller. The things that you're seeking today, the answers that you're seeking today, I don't have the ability to answer them. You don't have the ability to answer my needs today. But we do know God has all the answers to fulfill everything that we need in life. If you've lost a family member, if there's someone in your life that you're missing, someone that has just exited out of your life, whether it's through death, sickness, or maybe divorce, maybe just leaving, God will fulfill your life even though that person is gone. It doesn't mean that we don't miss that person. We were talking this past weekend about how we miss our moms, and Crystal's mom's been gone for 18 years. And my mom's been gone since I was 13 years old. About 10 years, no, I'm kidding. However long that is, 13 to however old I am, 55. And so that doesn't mean that we don't miss our moms. We do, but you know, God brings His presence and His gifts to take the void that's in our heart. So there are things in our life that are disappointments, and we want life to change. We want that person to change. We want that person to do better. We want this to happen. We want that door to open. And we simply wait and sit for those things to happen when God is saying, "I'm here to fulfill you. I'm here to bring peace into your heart, even when it's not a peaceful situation." We're praying with people almost daily that are seeking God to bring about peace in their heart, bring about understanding, bring about a fulfillment in their life, and it's only through the power of God. As we discover God's gifts, and you know what? We can't ever know everything there is about God's gifts. We can't ever know everything there is to know about God's presence and his amazing miracle to fulfill our lives. We can never understand that, but we seek him daily. As the Bible says, we seek love, we pursue love, we pursue God. That's not a one-time event. That's daily. We've got to pursue God daily and pursue his gifts, because he's the one that's going to bring fulfillment into our life. And you know what? I like what Bob said a while ago. He causes us to be prepared for the things ahead. Sometimes we face things in life that we're not prepared for. But God can prepare us as we draw close to him, as he pours his gifts in us. He can cause us to be prepared even for the devastation that's in our life. How can he prepare us? He can prepare us that we can see the good to come out of that thing. Not to face situations in life and saying, you know what, that's just the last straw, I'm done. I'm over. I'm defeated. Don't ever say that, because as long as God is living and you're living, you are not defeated. Victory is yours because the price has been paid for your victory through the Word of God. John 15, verses 8 to 11 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." See, the fulfilling of the gift of the Spirit through your life is to bear fruit. That means there's a growing. That means there's life. You can't bear fruit without life. You can't bear fruit without growth. And so the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit operating in us, bears much fruit. "So you will be my disciples." Verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now watch this. This is key in verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Through the Spirit of God, through having a close relationship with him, no matter what you face, no matter the battle that's in front of you, your joy can be full. How can that happen? That's not in our ability to understand that. We don't have the words to describe or to define what we just read. But it's through being close to him that our joy will be full. As we live in the Holy Spirit continually, as we allow him to work in and through us by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, causes our joy to be full. Now, it's interesting that in Nehemiah 8:10, you don't have that on the screen, but just make a note of Nehemiah 8:10, that our joy is key, right? The Bible says that our joy is our strength. So if our joy is full, that means we have strength to face whatever we have to face. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what Nehemiah 8:10 says. And so as we remain in him, as we have the Holy Spirit working in us, he causes us to be fulfilled, but he causes our joy to be full. That doesn't mean that it dwindles when we face hard times. That means that our joy is full when we face the hard times. Our joy is full when we face disappointments. Will we face disappointments? Will we face tribulation? Will we face hardships? Yes, yes, and yes. But our joy will remain full because we're plugged into the life of Jesus Christ. And in that life, there's maturing, there's growing, and the Bible says there's fruit. Fruit. And that fruit gives life to us. It's by the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you feeling weak today? Some of you are feeling weak today. Some of you are not feeling up to par. Could be physically, could be emotionally, could be spiritually. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord, he says in verse 11 here of John chapter 15, that these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and remain full. Wouldn't you like to put gas in your car this afternoon and not to ever put gas in it again? Wouldn't that be awesome? Tesla can't do that. full of joy. How can you be full of joy? Because you know who you serve. You know the power of the Holy Spirit. You know the gifts of the Spirit that are working in and through you. It's not by you, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's by His Spirit that gives us the joy. It's by His Spirit that He gives us the strength. It's by His joy that He gives us the ability to face all the things that we face and remain full, never to go for a fill-up again. We are full for life. Stay plugged in. He told us we've got to abide in Him. He abides in us. Just like that branch is on that tree, the life from that branch comes from the root of that tree. The life in us comes from the root of God, by the power of God, the life of Jesus Christ, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 4:10, this is another New Living Translation version of 1 Peter 4:10, says, God has given gifts to each of you, it's every one of us, His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them so that God's generosity can flow through you. That's a teaching within itself in that one verse. For us to manage the gifts that God has given, He has already put everything together that you need. It's in the storehouse. It's ready to be shipped. It's ready to be delivered. God is preparing us to manage us, for us to manage those things that God is giving us generously so that they can flow through us. I believe this is the whole bottom line. This is really the rock bottom. This is the brass tacks of everything. And that is that God is giving us the gifts so that we can, in this life, overcome all the obstacles that we face. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the gifts of the Spirit. We can live free. We can live not entangled by the cares of the world. Doesn't mean that we don't care about the world. There's a difference. We care about the world. We love the world. We love the people. God loved every person. He loves those who are not saved. He loves those who are saved. Thank God we've got Christians that are all in those dirty places preaching the Word of God. That's why Iran and the other country that you named a while ago that are growing, because they're going into, they're not just staying in a building talking about the Bible. They're going out into the places where people need that. So God loves those people that aren't here this morning. We need to love those people. We need to pray that we can speak life into those people, is what Wendy was talking about a while ago. Speak the life of Christ to those people so that they also will come to Christ. See, people need to see Jesus in you so that they desire Jesus in you. People don't want us going out there acting like them. They want to find something that's real. And you have it. You got the only true living God. And the only way that we can make it through this life naturally is operating in the supernatural. We were created supernaturally. We can't define how we're created. Scientists spend billions, trillions, zillions, quadrillion dollars trying to figure it all out, and they can't manipulate it. They can't manufacture it, but God did it. So out of life, God gave us supernaturally. So in the natural, we've got to face life in the supernatural. And how do we do that? It's through the power of God. It's through the gifts of the Spirit. Come join with Crawford. We're going to prepare to receive communion this morning. And as we do that, I want us to realize the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in us. I want us to realize that God has brought into us, into our ability to receive the Holy Spirit today, but there's something that we're not operating totally in the Holy Spirit. We're not operating in all that God wants us to do, I don't believe. And so that's why God is calling us to grow in Him, to mature in Him, to know who the Holy Spirit is, to know that He is living and working in us and wants to be alive in us so that we can face whatever we face. We are in some tough situations today. We are facing some things that are totally different today. But we can make it through everything that we face through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we receive communion this morning, I want us to, let's stand together. I want us to pray. And the basis of everything that I've talked about this morning, the basis came as Jesus laid down His life. He shed His blood, as this juice represents this morning. He shed His blood. The abuse of His body was torn, was ripped, was the basis of everything that I'm speaking of this morning. It's the basis of the gifts of the Spirit that I'm talking about this morning. And so the price has been paid, not only for your salvation, not only for your eternal life, but also for the gifts that God wants to impart to you. He's not withholding anything from you this morning. Don't think that you've got to come to a certain point and then God's gifts will be for you. No, we simply come to Him through the life of Jesus Christ, which is what we're doing this for. And He bestows those gifts on us. Can you imagine withholding any gift from your child? Your child comes to you and loves you and obeys you and wants to do everything for you. And then you have a perfect gift that you're withholding from him or her and saying, no, you can't have that gift. No, we wouldn't do that. Jesus Christ's love for you is greater than that. We can't comprehend his love for us. And he's saying, I've got these gifts for you. They're for you. I freely give these gifts to you. Salvation, eternal life, and the gifts of the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have them today and calls you to rise above the things that you're facing, not to be discouraged by what you see, but to use the thing that you see to see the power of God causing you to come over those things, to come through those things, and to be greater in you than he who is in the world. That's the power of God this morning. That's what he wants you to know, how much he loves you and how much he wants